Today, I would like to concentrate on and reflect upon the reading yesterday, and what I will do is put the reading today and tomorrow to the reflection tomorrow, if you would allow me to do so. Permit me so, please. Our Lord's coming, or his incarnation, has many things that go with it. His purpose was, one was man's salvation, redemption, to manifest the kingdom of God. And I would say, which is the most important, was to reveal the Father to humanity. He also came to be an example and a model of the unity between human and divine. The incarnation of the God-sent second person is not merely to repair God and man's broken relationship. The incarnation of Jesus was for humanity to be transformed or changed from modeling the first Adam to becoming the second Adam, or to be becoming like the second Adam. This is something that I have read somewhere, I don't know, perhaps the book of Patrick Reardon, that Jesus was not an afterthought, which means that because Adam, the first Adam, had sinned, so now God has plan B to send Jesus Christ. That was not the way the church fathers saw it. Christ's earthly ministry is a model for all Christians. The reason why Jesus came is for us to model our lives to him. The unity of divine and human. And that is very important for those of us who are pretty serious about living our Christian life. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Allow me to read to you the reading yesterday from the Gospel of St. Mark. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from verse 32 to 39. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by the demons, or by demons, or rather, and rising very early, I'm sorry, verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. That reminds us of Jesus' earthly ministry and what his schedule was during the day. In the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Remember what I said a while ago? We have to model our lives to his life. Then everyone was searching for him. And even though Jesus was not overly concerned, not because he was indifferent to people's needs, but Jesus had set his priorities right. At other times, Jesus prayed around during sunset. Despite being thronged by people to listen to his teaching, besides the sick being brought to him, Jesus made sure he did find time to pray. And again, I cannot emphasize enough the importance, because we have read this over and over and over again. In other words, if we model our lives to Jesus, despite how busy life can be, how hectic a day's schedule can be, we need to give time to pray. The Holy Scriptures conveys the impression that the Savior was fond of praying alone, and particularly outdoors. This is from some thoughts from the book of Patrick Reardon. And he said the verb praying was expressed in the imperfect tense, meaning it is a continued, repeated action. Jesus did not pray when he was in need to pray. He prayed continuously. This is very similar to what the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. And I'm sure that one of these days, I'm going to reflect on that. We will reflect on it together. So Jesus was in a continuous prayer, repeated action. St. Mark implies that Jesus spent a significant time occupied in prayer. And guess what? We can even come to a point of concluding that even when Jesus was young, when he was perhaps a little boy, he was used to praying in such a way, because this was part of his life. Prayer was a part of his life. It began in the dark and ended after sunrise. Praying through the transition from darkness to light, Patrick Reardon says, and from light to darkness. What is the significance? Jesus prays during the two daily transitions of light and darkness. Jesus prefers full long nocturnal prayer under the expanse of the Palestinian sky at night. He was praying like David, the king, 1,000 years prior, from Psalm chapter 3 and verse 8, chapter 3, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." This points to the appointment of the celestial bodies, referring to the fourth day of creation, on which God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. Why the choice of praying under the gazing at the sky? Is it for the beauty of the sky? Perhaps. Why not? Is it listening to the moon and the stars and the sun's tail? Notice the choice of wordings here. Listening to the moon, to the stars, and to the sun's tail. Do they speak to us? Psalm 19 in verse 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." So when we look at and gaze at the stars and the heavens, they speak to us. As I reflected yesterday, that Isaiah tried to draw the attention of the Israelites and those who were in exile to the God who created the constellation. How great our God is. Let it be like a painting that is in front of us, that as we gaze, we marvel at this awesome sight. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. That is not from my words. That is from the words of the psalmist. And let me repeat it again. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." As David prayed also at night, maybe in the wilderness, he allowed the stars, the constellation, to speak, because it reflected the God who is the creator of heaven and earth. And Jesus did the same thing. And I'm sure that this is speaking to us, that we need to consider doing the same thing, because this is part of what it is to be a Christian. By looking closely at the celestial bodies, we can hear and listen to the subtle message and the story they tell. Why do humans pray? Humans pray because God has asked us to pray. But because humans are needy creatures, there are times and occasions that we are overwhelmed by necessities of life, by weakness. Do you think that this would have applied to Jesus? Or does this apply to Jesus? Jesus, I would say, prayed for a different reason. Jesus prayed to spend time with his Father who is in heaven. This is what Psalm 91 in verse 1 says. We have been praying Psalm 91 since a year ago, around February 15, almost a year ago, short of a couple of days. And it says from the very first verse of Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Could it be that the secret place of the Most High is at that time of fellowshipping with the Father, as Jesus modeled to us, so that we may be under the shadow of the Almighty? So I say to you, my brothers and sisters, if we will let these words speak to us, the vocation of humanity is prayer. And the most productive thing that we do during the day is spending time with God and prayer. So never, never, never think that we are wasting our time in prayer. As I said, this is the most productive moment during the day when we fellowship with God the Father. And may not only be constrained or limited during this time, that even after this, we would continue to think and raise our thoughts and our hearts to God.